Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 4 through 13 as follows. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, wouldn't it be nice if all the earth were united in friendship and love? That there really was peace on earth outwardly, a unity of all peoples of all time. Would it be nice? I kind of think it would. Is it possible? Well, you don't have to look much farther than your own heart, because we've all got those prejudices. Perhaps we grew up with them. Perhaps they've been ingrained on us by society. We can try to place the blame wherever we want to, but really it all comes back to sin, doesn't it? It all comes back to breaking God's will, of not being kind to one another and genuinely caring and concerned for the other person's best interest, which the Lord commands us to be and to do. Racial prejudices, they are abundant. You don't have to look any farther than your Bible to see prejudices amongst people. The Jews were very prejudiced against the non-Jews, often referred to as the Gentiles. I know most everybody here today, and I can probably vouch for almost all of you that I don't think any of you are Jews here today. Maybe you have some Jewish blood in you. You're all Gentiles. You're all non-Jews. That's what the Jewish nation refers to as goyim. Maybe you've heard that expression before. Goyim means Gentile, non-Jew. There was a good reason that the Jews had a prejudice against Gentiles, and even beyond the sinful nature that is in every heart, they had a prejudice against non-Jews because when God gave Moses the civil law, the ceremonial law, and the moral law, he told them that he was going to keep them together as a people. God even promised to Abraham that in him all the families, that he would multiply his seed, his family, his ancestry more than the stars in the heavens. But he also said, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And in order to carry out that promise in time, God kept the Jewish nation together as a people. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The 12 tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, we're all familiar with those words, the chosen people of God. God did choose the Jewish nation, not to inherit eternal life just because you happen to be a Jew. God chose the new Jewish nation for one reason only, that from them would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Down through the centuries, the Jewish nation forgot that. They kept all the laws, all right, the ones that kept them separate from the other nations, or they tried to, or most of the time. But what happened was they ended up losing sight of what was really important, why they were staying together as a nation. It was because of the promise that from them would come the promised seed of Abraham, Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us here on earth. Once Jesus came, then they were reminded of the real reason Jesus came, and that was to save sinners, and not just Jewish sinners, but the sinners of the world, the entire world. God so loved the world. That's really what all these readings today and our focus is today, is the fact that God is extending the olive branch to the world, not just to individuals and one group of people, but to everyone, to Gentiles as well as to Jews. That's why he begins with a reference to the writings of the Old Testament. He says, everything that was written beforehand was written for our learning, so that we could understand what God, why God has done the things he's done. It's the revealed will of God. It tells us what God wants us to know about him, about how he is a serious God who is all about justice, about how he's a holy God who expects us, his people, to be holy like him, that is, without sin, about how he is a fair God who, whenever sin is committed, must carry out that punishment against that sin. And that punishment for breaking his will, which is basically the definition of sin, breaking God's will, that's sin. What's the punishment? Eternal death for everyone, every sin. And God's a fair God. He's not going to let them go by the way. He's not going to bury sins behind the house somewhere. He's not going to sweep them under the rug. Justice must be paid, because that's one of God's attributes as true God. He's fair. He's just. Today in our text, Paul wants to unite a broken people, a people who had been showing prejudice to each other, Jews and non-Jews, in the same congregation there in Rome. Today, God wants us, a broken people, to be reminded that Jesus came here not just to save us good Christians, but to save all mankind, to look to all people with the message of the gospel. And he unifies us and all believers everywhere through his powerful word. He unites us. Today's theme is the Christ child brings us true unity. It's always a unity that gives glory to God. It's always a unity that reaches out to others. And it's always a unity that receives then God's blessings to us, the ones he wants us to have. The Christ child brings us true unity, a unity that gives glory to God. What unity am I talking about? Well, it's a unity of heart and mouth. With the heart, one believes, right? Holy Spirit gives you the gift of faith, puts it on your heart, so that when the Bible hears the Christmas message, oh, that gift of a Christ child, your faith believes it, grasps it, counts on it, trusts it. The heart believes. With the heart, one believes, but with the mouth, one makes confession. The apostle wrote, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity. The Lord wants us to be unified, not only in here, what we believe, but what comes out of here, what we confess. And how are we to do that? Everybody has his own opinion about the Christmas season. And I mean, just take an example of how to put up Christmas lights. Everybody's got an opinion. Oh, you didn't put enough lights on the tree. Or you put too many lights on the tree. Oh, you need to put a few more ornaments there. Why are they all white? You see, we're all divided on these things. And of course, we know they don't make any difference. But that's just Christmas decorations. How can we possibly be united on the Word of God? And there's a lot of people who despair over that. You've heard it before. You bring them a Bible passage and they say, oh, you know, that's just your translation. That's your interpretation. As if there are many different interpretations of the Bible. As if God didn't give us His Word to make things clear for us, to light up our path. Which He did, of course. The Scriptures is what unifies us. The key words here in our text are right there in verse 5. According to Christ Jesus. You can really translate it, according to what Jesus says. Jesus says. What does Jesus say? Well, it's right there in front of us. It's that whole book we have come to know and love as the Bible. It's the inspired, inerrant Word that contains no errors and is completely what our Lord has given us, inspired by Him, who had all those holy writers sit down and with pen in hand, by the power of the Spirit working through them, had them write down the very thoughts and words that He wanted them to write down. Therein comes the power to unify our hearts and our minds. Therein, in that Word of God, not only comes our salvation, but the ability to believe the same thing and to speak the same thing. Now, in many churches today, they'll be giving you a message that's impossible. It's impossible for everybody to be completely united in what the Bible teaches because, of course, everybody has their own opinions and interpretations. Wait a minute. The apostle here encourages us to do something that's not impossible. It is by ourselves, but it's not impossible with the powerful Word of God. As long as it's going according to Jesus, what He says. And this will always give glory to God. Following what Jesus says will always be to the praise of our Heavenly Father. We'll always be able to come here, worship Him in spirit and in truth, and God will accept that praise because we have been declared His own dear children through faith in what His Son has accomplished for us. That's the patience and the comfort that God has had with us. He has been patient with us, hasn't He? Not only this past week, but our whole lives through. Despite our sins, despite our breaking of His will, He's the God of patience who has brought about His miracle of the birth of a baby in Bethlehem, true God becoming true man, all for you and me. All to take away what stood between us, what stood between me and God, those sins, those breaking of His commandments, the just punishment I deserve, gone. Because Christ paid the price for them as a sacrifice on the cross. We look to that cross, even in our celebration of Christmas and the baby in the manger. In that manger, we see a cross. It's in Christ's future. That's why He came. Isn't it that cross of Christ that unites us? Isn't it that cross of Christ that enables us to praise God for sending His Son Jesus into our hearts and lives, giving us that hope? Hope is a word we use every day of our lives, probably. I hope you have a nice day. I hope they're not sold out of eggnog, grocery store, things like that. But that's not what this means. When the Bible uses the word hope, it's a rock-solid, ironclad, guaranteed assurance, absolute certainty that God's Word has accomplished what He said He would accomplish. That's what Christian hope is. And that gift God gave you called faith, that's part of its job. It hopes. In other words, it confidently believes. It knows for sure that Jesus went to the cross in your behalf. It knows for sure that because of your justification, because of your being declared not guilty, God raised Jesus from the dead. That causes us to glorify our God even more. When we hear those unconditional promises of what God has done for us, we praise our holy God. That gospel message reigning in our hearts, especially this time of the year, as we pour over the blessed events of Christmas, as we pour over the promise of His second coming, knowing that all of our loved ones who have died in the Lord, they're going to be there on Judgment Day. We're going to be there on Judgment Day. We're going to inherit eternal life. We will share in the glory that Jesus promised. Why? Because of the hope, the certainty that our faith believes in what our Savior accomplished for us. All glory be to God. Okay. It's a great message, isn't it? I get to tell you. But again, guess what? You get to tell everybody else in your life. Because that's what unity does. Being united in the same heart, in the same mouth, in what Jesus teaches us in the Bible. That moves us to go out and tell other people. That helps us to obliterate those prejudices that are in each and every one of us. So that nothing stands between us and the stranger who doesn't know these things, who isn't aware, who hasn't been told, who perhaps has rejected this message in the past, someone who's had nothing to do with Christmas, some old Grinch. You know a few, I do too. What's going to soften their heart? This message, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That message, this message of a Christ child, the God's gift to them, will help them. It will cure them. That's why our unity that we share together reaches out. It reaches out to others. That's why Paul says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ received us to the glory of God. How did Jesus receive us to the glory of God? Well, to the glory of God. To the praise of God, Jesus received us while we were still dead in our trespasses and sin. That's how Jesus received us. While there was still nothing about me that was laudable or lovable or cuddly or promising or even looking into my future, nothing. While I was dead in my trespasses and sin, Jesus received me. And that's how He received you too. And therefore, the apostle encourages us, with that gospel message reigning in our hearts, receive one another. Keep on doing it. Keep on receiving. Because Jesus has received you once and for all. And He who authored faith in your heart promises to finish it. He received me. I didn't accept Jesus into my life. He accepted me. We get to tell other people that great truth. We get to reach out to others and tell them about the fact that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek or Gentile, the Lord came for all. Oh, we can tell them to watch out for the trick balls, you know, the things that will try to lead you away from the Word of God. But the message needs to go out. The Apostle Paul was speaking to a congregation who were kind of wondering about whether the Jews and the Gentiles should mix. Should these two different kinds of people mix? Receive one another, Paul says. That means we can reach out to everyone around us, at our homes, across the fence, at our jobs, at school. People we meet, we can reach out. Paul goes on to give examples of the fact that the Jews weren't the only ones who were given the promise. Oh yes, Jesus came to the Jews as promised. God fulfilled His word, and doesn't God always? But it wasn't just to the Jews. Paul lists four different passages from the Old Testament. You kind of see a progression as you look at them. In verse 9, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. So first he's saying, reach out to other people. Confess Christ to them. Sing about Jesus to them. But then it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Then there's this invitation for the people who aren't among your group to come, come. That's where we come in, right? Invite them to church. Come, hear this message of the gospel. And it goes farther, verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. So then the laud Him. They get to get in on the praise and thanksgiving to God. And finally, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. That means that every one of us is given the opportunity for that hope, that Christian, rock-solid, ironclad guarantee of sins forgiven in Christ. What a wonderful progression. We know it, don't we? because we've been through it, every one of us. We've heard of the word. We've been invited. We've joined in. And now we get to tell everyone about the hope that is in us through God's powerful word. That's unity in the one true Christian faith, which we just got done declaring in the words of the Apostles' Creed, right? I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. That means the sharing that of believers, the sharing in the God's Word, the sharing of the heart and of what comes out of our mouth. And all of this for what? So that we get to right now experience the blessings that God has in store for us. Oh yes, I know that we will one day share together the glory of heaven with our Savior. We will share in that. But what about now? What about all the tough things we have to go through in life? But we also get to share in the spiritual blessings, the comfort of knowing by faith that Jesus is always with us. He'll never leave us. That despite what outwardly seems to be a real hard thing to go through in life, God promises grace and blessing. God promises help in time of need. These things are true because God says them. We get to experience His blessings now. Jesus said, I came to give them life and to have life more abundantly. Jesus later said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't that our comfort of eternal life? We'll never die. Oh, we might close our eyes in death, but we'll be alive forever, always, in our Savior Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, here we are, living our lives, knowing we'll never die. That's a spiritual blessing right now that I get to enjoy. I know that right now, I stand before God, redeemed, restored, forgiven, a child of God. And you do too, because you are wearing that white robe of Christ's righteousness wrapped around you. When God looks at you, He doesn't see the sins you've committed this past week. He rejoices with the angels that you've repented over those sins, and He knows you did it because He's already wrapped you in the robe of salvation. Salvation has come to you through faith and the working of the Holy Spirit in your hearts and lives. You know you're going to be saved. You can have that rock-solid Christian hope, that certainty that heaven is yours. It is yours. Because Jesus says so. That's a spiritual blessing like no other. If God did all this for us in His Son, Christ Jesus, how isn't He going to take care of every other thing that's going on in your life and mine? Of course He will. Of course He'll always watch out for us. That brings us, in our last verse, the joy, the peace that comes with believing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying, okay, you've heard the message, go out there on your own. That's not it at all. By the power of the Holy Spirit, who is alive and well in your heart, who has made you His temple, He is giving you and fulfilling in you His word, which causes joy. A joy that is beyond the joy of anybody else in the Christmas season, because we know what the true joy is all about. It's about Jesus. We know the true peace, the peace that knows our sins have been forgiven in Christ Jesus, a conscience at rest, that nothing stands between you and the Lord Almighty, so that on Judgment Day the Lord will say to you, along with all the blessed, come, you blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't it nice to be united in these true teachings of the Bible? Isn't it nice to be able to always go back, use that Bible, because it's our base. It's our baseline. When everything else seems to be going awry in our lives, we go back to Scripture and we see how, according to Jesus, according to what He says, He keeps us in the one true faith. He unifies us with His word and keeps us sanctified. There's a lot of blessings involved with that. The Christ child brings true unity so that we can praise and glorify God, so that we can reach out to others, and so that we can continue to enjoy the many spiritual blessings He lavishes and pours out upon us every day. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.